Hey everybody, welcome in. It's another Monday special edition of Speak Up, and I'm so glad you're here with us today. My name is Barbara, and we are continuing in our focused programming for the upcoming election. You know, there is a local option sales tax on your ballots if you are city residents, and today, Sandpoint Mayor Jeremy Grimm is with us to explain the facts, the purpose, and the plans for this option. So, and in addition, we're going to cover other things on the city's list of things to do and things that they have been doing for you. I'm looking forward to that. So stay with us. All that right after our first break, coming right now. All right, everyone, welcome back in. Join me and say hello to our Sandpoint Mayor, Jeremy Grimm. Welcome in. Thanks for being with us today.
Hello, everyone out in Radioland. And Barbara, it's great to be here again. So nice to see you and look forward to providing some informative facts on what's happening around town.
Well, the first thing I want to ask is, being mayor of Sandpoint, all you anticipated it to be and more, and have you been surprised at anything?
I think you're always surprised. It has been everything and everything. I'm having a ball. It is, for someone with my background, it just feels like being a kid in a candy shop some days, because I've spent a lot of time studying, you know, public policy and government and land use and infrastructure. This biggest surprise is the people is the hardest thing. It's really a position where you're managing 110 people. So give me a budget problem, give me a water plant or a sewer plant or a road. I know how to address those things. The people part of it is actually the hardest part of it.
Right. But it's, and in it's, a way, the best part too.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
You know, when I first came on, we had some folks who chose to move away and take other opportunities. But as of today, we have a full board of employees, and it is a great team we've built from the bottom up, not top down. So I couldn't be more thrilled with our employees that we have right now, and everyone's leaning in to make the city the best it can be.
All right. Well, let's get right to the first big topic on our list, and that's the 1% additional sales tax that anyone shopping in the city of Sandpoint will pay if it passes on this November 5th ballot. So first of all, it's a local option sales tax. Explain that to our audience.
Sure. So the legislature allows communities of 10,000 residents or less to designate themselves a resort city. And a resort city designation, basically it's an acknowledgement that a lot of your activity, the majority of your activity, is happening during these peak seasons, you know, when the tourists or the visitors are in town. So if you are designated a resort city and you choose to, you have the option to ask the voters to approve a local option sales tax. That's something that larger towns and cities in Idaho don't have the ability to do. So it's limited to the 10,000 person or under as measured at the census, and it provides for whatever the ballot language specifies. So in this case, we are proposing a local option tax for our roads and our streets, paving and resurfacing, sealing and maintaining the streets, some stormwater work along with that, reconstructing some of the streets, and then doing some work on our alleys, graveling and helping to grade them because they've been neglected for a long time. And then finally, some sidewalk and pathway improvements throughout town. So all those issues are pretty important. As I mentioned, give me a problem and I want to solve it. Our roads, streets, and sidewalks and alleys are a problem I cannot solve. Just for context, if you've lived in the area for a while, you may know this, but if not, we've been putting about $500,000 into our streets for the last 5 years. That is not enough to do a whole lot of anything. Prior to that, the city was only investing about $250,000 a year into our streets. So we have a situation where if you've driven around town, almost all of our streets are in poor or very poor condition. And it costs a huge amount of money to do a road repair, about $1.5 million to do a mile of lanes. So every year when I look at our budget, I just went through my first budget.
You can do a half a mile.
We can do a half a mile.
On the current budget.
And then you add to that, if anyone listening had $500,000, what would you do with that if it had to go into roads? And the real challenge is our roads in Sandpoint, most of them were built at a time when the city was relatively poor and people scraped to get by. Not saying many don't do that today. But the point is, they weren't built with modern standards. They don't have road base. They don't have that big 9-10 inch road rock and fabric under them. So it's a good analogy. Most of our streets are built on clay and gravel. And if you know anything about spring breakup and freeze thaw, or drive our streets, you'll see that the majority of them are just caving into the clay. So that $500,000, the option is, do you just do a 2-inch layer of asphalt to smooth it out for a few more years and maybe do a pretty good amount of resurfacing? Or do you do a very small amount of street and actually rebuild it properly? And that's sort of been what we've been doing recently, but you can only do a block or two per year. So this is really a local option tax to see if the residents and businesses in Sandpoint would like to fix our roads once and for all.
Let me ask a couple of detailed questions. If it passes, when will the tax begin?
If it passes, the tax will begin January 1st.
So January 1st, 2025. Mm-hmm. And how much revenue are your, projection people, actuaries, how much income is this going to generate for you in a year?
Yeah, that's me, myself, and I, along with Sarah Linz, our finance
and
director.
A crystal ball somewhere.
Yeah, and that's a great question. The short answer is I think it's going to generate about $1.6 to $2 million per year. And I say that based on people's familiarity with the last time we had a local option tax. Residents of Sandpoint approved a local option tax for War Memorial Field and Barlow Stadium. The last year that was in place, it generated about $1.5 million. With the increase in groceries and inflation,
and population
activity, we think that number is going to go up, but it's a projection. It's not a hard and fast number. We won't know until the collections come in, and it will be variable as well, because if we have a forest fire year and there's a lot of smoke, we might not have as many people coming to the community. And that's the big thing to recognize, is that the neat thing about this local option tax is that based on the last time it was in place, we saw a huge amount of tourists paying this tax. We saw the actual revenue from it increase 85% during our peak tourist season. So June, July, August, and September. That's when everything's hopping, the stores are busy, and basically people from outside the area are helping to pay a significant amount of the road repair costs.
Okay, a couple of other questions. So the War Memorial Barlow Field option tax, that has gone away, right?
Correct. All of these local option taxes, when they're presented to the voters.
So when will this one end?
Oh, this is proposed for 25 years. So okay. It will go out until 2049.
2049.
That'll sunset December 31st, 2049. And I targeted that duration because there's a couple of things at play here. The first is our next census, 2030, we will likely exceed that 10,000 population. So we only have a window up until probably 2030 to even have the statutory allowance to ask the voters for this 1% sales tax. In addition, if this doesn't pass, and it does need to pass by 60%, so it's, yes, a supermajority, it's not just 51% or 50% in a vote. So if it doesn't pass, I hope to hear, you know, from the community, why did you not support it? What were you thinking? What would you like us to do? And really maybe take another bite at the apple next year. But there's another thing to consider here, too, which is there are some in the legislature who don't appreciate small towns having this local tax authority. And almost every year, the local option tax comes up in the legislature. Sometimes it makes its way fairly significantly through the process. But there's always a threat that this opportunity could go away and resort cities could be stripped of the ability to leverage a local option tax or ask the voters if they want. Personally, I think local control is best, and I hope that the state continues to allow the voters of their communities to decide whether or not they think this local option tax is appropriate.
I've heard some people ask that why can't we be covering roads and pavements and sidewalks with our current budget? I mean, that's one of our top priorities, and what are we spending our money on?
Right, great question. If anyone's a business owner or runs the household finances, you'll understand this. I'll just give a couple examples. Once we pay our payroll for about 117 employees, our health insurance, our matching benefits, and related cost of doing business, electricity, power, gas, everything people deal with, we have about $500,000 left that has been allocated to roads. Just our health insurance benefits this year, okay, they went up 23% for the city of Sandpoint. That's about $240,000 this year that our out-of-pocket cost to run the city went up. The state statutes limit our ability to raise our budget by anything more than 3% a year. So if you do the quick math, we can raise our revenue 3%, but our costs are going up 23%. So how that plays out, and it has happened years and years and years in the city, every year we have less and less discretionary dollars to put into projects. And barring a solution, the day may come where we do no projects and simply employ people to run the water system, the sewer system, the police, and the fire. So it's a declining ability for the city to work within its budget because of the cost of doing business in the world and because of our limitations on how much we can increase our budget by the state statute of 3%.
I know health benefits are really where the rubber hits the road for even our personal finances,
right.
Our own insurance and our own deductibles and things that are changing with our health. And so it's the same with your employees.
Right. And it's also a competitive, you know, with all the infrastructure money out there, it's a very competitive environment to try to hire and retain employees. I think everyone recognizes that the cost of living in Sandpoint is incredibly high. I've been trying to hire a public works director for a year now, and this position's in like the $150,000 range, and we're not even getting applicants. We've had a few, but when somebody looks to relocate here, you look at a house that maybe they're accustomed to, costing $600,000 or $700,000, and they say, "No thanks." So. Although, you know, our employees do contribute towards their families' health insurance, offering health insurance is pretty customary for large companies, and it's something that we need to do to at least try to recruit and maintain our employees. So I wish it was as easy as just saying we're going to cut something out of the budget, but the cutting's down to the bone at this point, and the roads don't have a revenue source. So that's what this measure is for.
So this takes a 6% sales tax to 7.
It would take it to 7 in Sandpoint. And I would just add that...
Which is what Ponderay is.
Ponderay has the 1%. That's how they've done those amazing things out at the Field of Dreams and the Ice Arena. And they are going out for a renewal of that. So It would be, you know, there's an advantage to doing them both equivalently in both Sandpoint and Ponderé. We all grocery shop in one place or the other. So we're not going to play one off the other. And I guess the one thing I would say is it's really important that you do what you say you're going to do with the money. I've been through four of these, both in Wyoming and here in Idaho. I've seen some be approved and some denied by the voters. And what I've targeted here is a very narrow, specific to-do list with this money. And that's what I think will resonate. Sometimes when they fail, it's sometimes due to just too many things being in the pot. You know, we're going to do this. We're going to do parks. We're going to do playground equipments and arts and roads and this and that. This is very narrowly focused to address our huge problem with our streets in Sandpoint.
You know, this is just my opinion, ladies and gentlemen, that I know, you know. But I think that if it's artwork or something that not everybody can get behind as a priority, or even if it's payroll or something for individuals, people kind of resist that. But when you're talking streets and sidewalks and culverts and stormwater management is the one that caught my eye. I think, you know, that really is something that's meat and potatoes stuff. That's something people can understand. And every day they're impacted by driving around town and riding their bikes or walking on sidewalks. And we want it to be in good shape.
Well, in my perspective, it's part of the livability of our area. I'm sorry if people don't appreciate the city of Sandpoint being on the headlines every week, but I'm pretty boring. I'm really focused on the basics that make a community work: water, sewer, roads, police, fire, and a little bit of land use planning. So I'm really trying to keep it simple, and I'm trying to do what I say I'm going to do. And for this ballot measure, the output, if the voters approve this, will be a funding source that will allow the city to take care of all of our road issues. And I'll point out that right now we piecemeal these road projects. So we have a scrap up for a year. We have maybe $750,000 to put to a project. We're doing one at a time. If this option tax passes, we'll be able to say, wow, we know we're going to have 3 years of revenue. We could actually go out and put out a project that's five or six or eight blocks in length, and that way we can get some efficiencies. You know, the bigger the project, the more efficiency, you get better bidders, you get better prices, just like when you go to Costco, the more you buy, the lower the price. So there's a few advantages to having a dedicated revenue source for our roads.
Okay, excellent. Thank you for that. And with that, we're going to take another break, but stay with us. We have a lot more coming your way. Hey, everybody, welcome back in. We are talking today with Mayor Jeremy Grimm, and he's here to talk to us about that 1% local option sales tax that will be on your ballot. If you're a city resident, you are going to get to vote yes or no on that. And so we're talking about what it will do and how much money it will raise for us to do some of the things that we would perhaps like to see done in Sandpoint. So having said that, Mayor Grimm, first of all, welcome back in. I appreciate you taking the time with us today. Tell us and our audience again, let's say the $2 million that gets raised every year, maybe 1.8 or something, how will it be used?
Yeah. So to put together a road project, it takes a lot. It starts with surveying. So that's going to be probably $10,000, $15,000, maybe even as much as $20,000 to go out and actually take topography, grades, and actually know where the right-of-way is, where the utilities are, where the storm and the sewer and the water are. So that's a portion of it. Then there's the design of the street. Many of our streets were designed without curb and gutter or don't have sidewalks and other things. So there's a public outreach engagement process where we look at the street section and say, how do we prefer it to be designed? What do the residents think? That design can chew up a lot of money. It's not strange to see that be $100,000 for a large road project, maybe 8 or 10 blocks.
And if you're going to do it, you want it to be right and designed with the newest technology and information we have on what happens with water and
right.
snow
water,
and pedestrians
water, water.
And yep. big trucks that right. weren't going through here 50, 80 years ago.
Yeah, and water is a big one. Think of a drop of water hitting one part of a street. How does that get to the lake?
Yeah.
So, making sure that the drainage is all graded appropriately and the pipes are all the right size so it can avoid flooding situations. Then they go out, we draft up requests for proposals, we get bids, we walk the contractors through the project, and then we accept a bid, and then it goes out for construction. So we have a narrow window here when we can do this kind of work because of the weather. Generally, the asphalt plants shut down in October, maybe November if you're lucky, and they don't open up until, May. So all this pre-planning takes place in the winter. We're just starting our next year road project right now. And then you'll see next spring some of those roads sections and blocks get completed. So the money really goes into engineering, survey, and then human power and asphalt, rocks, and cement. It's there's not a lot of frills in it. It's you see the dollars actually go into the ground.
The other thing that's on the list that I really liked, because I'm a walker, I love to walk. I've been here for like 35 years in Hope, but I've been in Sandpoint only 4 years. And one of the things I appreciate the most is all the walkways that I have and all the places that are welcoming me to walk, to cross over Highway 2, or wherever. So I was really happy, Mayor, to see sidewalk and pathway improvements within the city on your list. Thank you.
Yeah, and that's actually, it serves a couple purposes. The first is we don't have a connected network throughout town.
Yet.
The second is the way we pay for sidewalks today. It's very inequitable. If you own a house and you're doing some improvements, well, if your building permit for those improvements, you're putting on a bonus room or a new roof, if you exceed 25% of what we say the house value is, you have to put in sidewalks. If you're doing a new house and there's no sidewalk, you have to put in sidewalks. Yet for other people, we may get a federal grant or a state grant to put in sidewalks, and they get theirs for free or paid for by someone else. So this would really take that burden and that obligation of who's paying for the sidewalks and put it back on the city, and we'll just do all the sidewalks.
Yeah.
So that's something that if you've been here a while, it's always been a point of contention. But yes, sidewalks, pathways, and our alleys. I don't know if you've ever had the opportunity, but I love walking our alleys. Sometimes it's actually a more direct route between two places. And this time of year in the fall or in the spring, it's amazing. It's like walking through people's gardens. And we're going to improve the alleys with this funding if that happens as well.
Well, there it is. Sandpoint gets to make the decision on the 1% local option sales tax. I'm going to change the agenda to another a thing that you have with your team that you have reestablished. Established 4 or 5 volunteer committees in the city. I can't tell you how much I approve and agree for more and more volunteer support from citizens.
It is so important, Barbara. If you followed the last few years in Sandpoint, you may or may not know that all those committees and commissions, except for one, were shuttered or paused. That's problematic. During that time period, we saw a lot of anxiety and concern about what projects the city was embarking on. it's there's no better sounding board for the citizens to direct and give input to the city council than through those committees. They do a lot of work. They research. They take the information from the city to their friends and back and forth. But at the end of the day, we've got a forestry, urban forestry committee, we've got parks and rec committee, we've got bicycle pedestrian committee, we've got arts, historic culture committee, and then finally the American with Disability committee. So we've got some great committees. If you want to volunteer, there's always openings, but they will be doing a lot of work on behalf of the council to research things like, what is our next park project? Where should it be? Is this what the residents really want? So it's great to have so many volunteers, and we got that stood up this fall. It took a while.
But. And the other thing I like about is they are volunteer, they're advisory, which leads me to the next kudo for you, is I've been looking for things to disagree with. I'm having trouble finding them. But is you've mentioned this, the greater responsibility and therefore accountability of your department heads, because they are the ones that do make the decisions with their teams, maybe taking in this information from the committees, and then they're accountable for what they have decided and
so
recommended
important.
To you and the council.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so when day one, I had 17 direct reports. This was January 3rd, and that's how the former administration had operated. There was a city administrator, and everyone reported to the city administrator effectively. Well, managing 17 direct reports is near impossible. You don't do a good job. You make a lot of quick, rash decisions. So one of my priorities running for mayor was to reestablish the long historical department head positions. And those are 7 department heads that manage the rest of the city employees. And that what went together with that was making them appointed. The former administration had removed those appointments, meaning that the mayor or the city administrator could fire those department leaders. Thanks to the council, they reappointed those positions. So I cannot fire any of the 7 department heads. The council can if there's a unanimous vote, but I can't just say you're fired because I don't like what you're telling me. And I call it speaking truth to power. This kind of shields those department heads. They can now come up and they give council reports every week. They give their professional opinions, and just because you don't like their opinion, you can't fire them. So they're not hesitant to actually speak the truth. So I think it's so valuable, and it holds them accountable. They're professionals. They say what they're going to do, and they have to stand on their own 2 feet.
Right. And they're encouraged to do that, and because they don't have to speak with any fear of reprisal.
And correct. And they also make decisions. Again, not everything has to come to the mayor or the city administrator, which we don't have anymore. They can make decisions. So you don't get weighed down in decision-making meetings. There's direct reports can come to them, and they can act on those decisions.
So another area that I'd like you to comment on, I was doing some research only because it came across a news report on fluoride, and there seems to be a kind of a growing concern about the long-term use of fluoride, especially in children. I was surprised. I mean, I couldn't even listen. Austria, Belgium, Denmark, France, Finland, Germany, they all stopped doing it in the 70s, 80s. Israel took it out, but then they brought it back in, but only in certain reasons and areas in 2017. What are we doing? Where are we on fluoride? Help me. This is a concern.
It's probably the second longest council meeting I remember in the last 20 years. Sandpoint removed fluoride from our water. I don't remember the year, but it was a very passionate and lengthy discussion, and the council ended up removing fluoride. I want to say it was something like 2014 or 13,
okay.
Maybe.
That's what I thought. I couldn't find it when I was trying to do my research, and I just went, since Israel reinstated it, I thought, we didn't reinstate it, did we, after
no.
We took it out, so no fluoride. So talk to us about our water quality short to the point? Yeah. I mean, do you think our water, drinking water quality, is good in Sandpoint?
We are so blessed. We have not just quantity of water, the quality of water is excellent. We have a water treatment plant. We have two, one on Little Sand Creek and one at the lake. The one on Little Sand Creek flows out of our watershed, which is very pristine. Very minimal treatment taking place there. And then from the lake, we have a very sophisticated filter called a Paul filtration system. And it creates and produces incredibly clean and clear and great tasting water. So we're very lucky. We have great water quality. I will say, though, that our basin, Lake Ponderay, we do have a Superfund site at the headwaters up by Butte and throughout Missoula. So as with any flowing body of water, unless you're at the top of the drainage, you are susceptible to whatever comes down. So the day could come when something bad happens upstream, but right now we are very, very blessed.
Upstream being the Clark Fork River.
The Clark Fork River, yes.
Flowing into Lake Ponderay, and that's one of our main water sources for City of Sandpoint and other communities too.
Correct.
Yeah. All right. Well, that is just really good news. I just think that people can be very reassured, not only with the quality, but at this point also the quantity of water.
We're going to have some discussions this next year about where the city serves water. Right now, the City of Sandpoint provides water to Ponderay, Kootenai, Northside Water District, which is up north of Ponderay, Ponder Point, and Syringa, which is west of town.
None of them are in the city.
Correct.
Taxing
of, right.
district.
And all those systems have pretty significant deficiencies with the size of their pipes and fire flows. So it's about $20 million to fix all those pipes. Because the city services that and owns those pipes, we would have to take a loan or go into debt to fix that. And it's unlikely, I believe, that Sandpoint voters would go into debt $20 or more million to upgrade water lines in Ponderay or Kootenai or Ponderay Point. So we're going to have a discussion about how we function as a water utility. And that's one of my priorities for this coming year.
All right. That's really good. We'll follow up on that with you. Thank you. All right. We're up against our last break. We're going to take it, but don't go away because we've got more for Mayor Jeremy Grimm. All right, everyone, welcome back in. We are talking today with Mayor Jeremy Grimm. He's filling us in on not just the local option sales tax, which will be on your ballot November the 5th, but also areas of our water and department heads and our volunteer committees. A lot of good news. Do we have more good news for our listeners about wastewater treatment issues here in Sandpoint?
We do. I'm actually right after this interview, I'm heading into about the eighth meeting for our engineers who are looking at something called a preliminary engineering report. And this report for our wastewater plant is really the first step in us moving forward with design of what that new facility will look like. If you're not aware, that plant that we have operating today came from Farragut Naval Base. It's a World War II era plant that's been duct taped together, and unfortunately it's very old and needs almost continual maintenance. We have violated regulations. We put E. coli in the river. We've exceeded chlorine limits in the river. It's an all hands on deck effort to keep that plant running. So over the course of the next year, preliminary engineering design will come to the City Council. That will really tell us what technology we need to use and how those elements are put together at the plant. And then we will go out to bonding, and we will use our revenue from our rates to cover the cost of that debt service. Residents have recognized that they've had a couple of sewer rate increases over the years, and those funds are being put in reserves to pay for our future debt for rebuilding this sewer plant. So The long and short on that is by 2020, early 2027, we should be seeing a construction at the new sewer plant. And whether it's piecemeal, replacing certain components one at a time, or a larger reconstruction project is yet to be determined by this report. We expect it to be somewhere between $60 and $100 million. I know that's a huge gap. It just depends on the technology and the phasing and the speed at which we can do that work. So,
any grant money available to help us pay that bill?
There's going to be a lot of tree shaking. Yes, there's the federal dollars and then there's the state dollars. So I'm working with the congressional delegations to try to get some federal dollars, and then obviously working and meeting with the governor and his staff and state divisions regularly to look for funding. Unfortunately, it's not the greatest time. The Infrastructure Act, and the last 4 years, there was seas of money out there for infrastructure. And that money's sort of drying up and going away. So we do expect to get some significant help, but we're going to have to carry a lot of this load ourselves through our rates.
You were talking before about how Sandpoint is kind of the water provider for Ponderay and Ponder Point and other non-city areas, and that needs to be renegotiated or changed. Is it the same thing for wastewater, that we are a wastewater treatment for other areas, or is it just Sandpoint?
Thank goodness, no. It's just Sandpoint. And I say thank goodness, no, because there's something really incredible about working in a defined municipal boundary. I could pick up my phone right now and call four council members, and we can have an emergency meeting on anything, and we can make decisions at that meeting that affect our residents and businesses. We don't have to check with other entities, agencies, groups, boards. We can act in the interest of our community. And because sewer has been limited to just Sandpoint, we can act on behalf of our residents on all things related to sewer. So no, we never let the horse out of the barn, so to speak, and extended sewer outside the city limits, with one very minor exception on Pine Street. But nope, just Sandpoint. And okay. Sewer is a tough topic, because water and sewer combined utilities allow the densities to really increase when you talk about land use. And when you start talking about servicing county land with water and sewer, you start to get density availability that doesn't follow our traditional patterns of a town, a city center, where services are. So if you run a water or sewer line way out Selly Valley, you could potentially get homes on lots as small as 20,000 square feet, requiring commuting and trips and cars and school buses and mail and all that stuff. So water and sewer utilities are really important to hold tight, and they really support efficient delivery of services.
I think we have time for this, because it seems to me, at least in my head, it's related, this idea of boundaries and having defined limits with your, and I'm not sure what it's called, but your fire service agreements with other fire departments other than just Sandpoint Fire Department working with them, and that the city has backed away or ended one of those agreements. So what is the thinking on that? Because intuitively, it sounds like a good thing to save money.
Right. Yeah. So historically, we had the Sandpoint Fire Department. On about 2015, we were that was nine firemen and a captain. About 2015, we were approached by Sagal Fire District, which is a very large geographical area from Tallahatchie all the way to Duford and Spirit Lake. It's an enormous district. And they said, we need some help. Let's work together. Can you take over some of the administration aspects of our fire district? Shortly thereafter, West Side Fire District, Dover and towards Priest River and Laclede was added. And when I started January 3rd, the city of Sandpoint was managing in excess of 24 fire personnel and doing all the purchasing and all the payroll for those entities. And that all ended. Our joint powers agreement ended in, I believe it was June or July. And we're now back to a Sandpoint only fire department, nine firefighters and a chief. and it allows us to be very focused on the city's interests. We do still share and respond to something called automatic aid if Sagal needs help or West Side needs help or North Side. And they, likewise, thank goodness, they came in on July 4th when we had our arson.
Yes.
And the fire at Cornell's Army Surplus Store. So it's still working. Even though we're separate now, it still works. We share training and help each other. It's just that administrative aspect of it was very difficult for the city of Sandpoint. And we've now been able to cast off that burden. They were financing it. They paid their way. But it's still the manpower to actually do the payroll and the billables and the purchase orders. That was a huge burden for the city. So now the city's focusing just on city residents, and things are going very smoothly.
You know, it seems it's an advantage for them also, you know, local control of their personnel and payroll and different administrative issues that they can pick up and would serve them well also.
Yeah, I think the future is still open to what we all become as fire services. Right now, I think they're working on a levy maybe in the future to help fund them, but we're still always here to work with and support our adjacent fire districts.
All right, we're going to let that be the last word. Thank you to Dave. What a great program. I appreciate it. Mayor Jeremy Grimm, special Monday edition you folks are enjoying. Tomorrow, Tuesday, I'll be back. We have another election special with opposing candidates Cornell Razor and Catherine Larson. So until tomorrow, this is Barbara saying, please take care of yourselves, slow down out there, and may God richly bless you, my friends.